Second Peter chapter number 1, Second Peter chapter number 1, and heard a little bit from Pastor and Mrs. Townsley. Sounds like they for sure made it okay. They're there, long trip. But next week, next Sunday, I think the plan is to do a Skype type update from him. I don't know if it's going to be in the morning or the night, so we'll let you know what's going on with that, but that's the plan. And then kind of as a prayer request, and also an update, but also a prayer request, that tomorrow they'll be passing out tracts at a parade. He called it something. I looked it up to figure out what it was. I keep thinking it's Kubota, but that's a tractor, not a parade. But it's something like Kabuti, or it's something along those lines. And it's a big four or five day festival that takes place over there in the city where Paul and Sarah are. And there's a big parade involved, very, very traditional type parade with these fancy floats that people build. And so they're going to be there passing out tracts as a part of that. So I think he'd appreciate it as that we would pray for him. Again, he said tomorrow, Monday, that's tomorrow to us, but at some point it gets Monday before it'll get Monday here. So just pray quick and we'll make sure we get it all done. Sometimes with these announcements, I feel like we may announce it and it's already happened, but I think we've still got time to pray for it. But we'll pray for it when we pray here over the message. But so just keep that in mind, and they're there, and you know, of course, hopefully having a good time with grandkids and all the enjoyable parts. But we'll pray for them that God will help them as they minister there. But Second Peter chapter number 1, we're going to kind of pick up in the middle of really a text here, but we'll start in verse number 8. He says, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." Note the word there, forgotten. "Wherefore, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance." Note the word there, remembrance. In verse 9, he talks about the one that had forgotten. Verse 12, he said, "Put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." There's another word to note, remembrance. "Noting that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance." So you noted, as we've read, we've drawn attention to several words, the word remembrance used at least 3 times there, and the word forgotten, which is the opposite of remembering, used once as well. Let's go to Lord in prayer this morning. Dear Lord, we thank you for the day that you've given us. Thank you for safety and travel. We know that many of our church family have been traveling, are traveling during this time of year. Please grant safety. Lord, please in a special way be with Pastor and Mrs. Townsley. Give them just a great time with their family. Help them, Lord, on Monday as they minister there as part of that festival, as part of that parade. From reading about it, it sounds like it's a gathering that brings in people from the town and all over the area. And so no doubt it's a great opportunity to get tracts out and get a gospel witness out in that very spiritually dark area of the world. Lord, I pray that there would be fruit to their account. Lord, please be with us this morning as we open the scriptures. I hope that we will rightly divide, and that you would take the scriptures and the word of God and work in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Peter wrote this passage, as you could pick up on as we we're reading through it. He talked and he spoke in verse 14 about, he says, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle. He, of course, is talking about his earthly body that we all have and that God gives us for a space of time to operate in on this earth. And he knew he was older at this point. He knew that the time, as Paul said of himself, of his departure was at hand. There was a time coming where he was going to lay that tabernacle down. He also referenced in verse 15, he said, talked about that after my decease. And so as you read this passage, you understand that Peter was writing this with the knowledge that the time of his ministry here on earth was coming to an end. And he played, as a few other select men did, played a very key role in that first years of what we call Christianity. He was an apostle. When he left the scene, if you will, there weren't going to be any other apostles. When he and these other men left, there weren't going to be any other apostles. And so they would be left. Christians would be left. And you could just imagine in Peter's mind, there was all sorts of questions, wondering, would these people, would the fruit of our ministry, would they remain and would they maintain? And what Peter did in this passage, if you continued to read, he points them to the fact that, hey, even though I'm gone, you have something better. He goes on. We didn't read it. We'll just kind of highlight it. And at the end of the passage of the chapter in verse 19, he reminds them, he says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Isn't that kind of neat? You think about it, here we are. I never met Peter. I never met John. I never met any of the disciples that were in that select group called apostles. They had a very specific office. It was an office that would not continue. We won't do it today, but we could take time to show you from the scripture how that was an office for that time and for that foundational time of Christianity. But I'm here to report to you that from Peter's own words, we have something that is more sure today than even when the apostles walked the earth. We have the scripture that has been given to us. That's why it's important that we found ourselves on the Word of God. Men's memory waxes short. He talks about a great event that he saw there. But he said, what you have in the scriptures is more sure. It's more stable. That's what that word means. It's more stable than even the eyewitness accounts that we as apostles provided for you. It'll be neat one day to meet the apostles. It'd be neat to have walked with them. But you know what, friend? We don't need to have them physically present. Why? Because we have the Word of God with us. And when somebody, and this isn't the message, but when somebody gets on television or on the internet and tries to pretend to be an apostle, what they're pretending to do is to stand in a place that the Word of God is supposed to stand now. We don't need the apostle. We don't need God in his wisdom, so we don't need the apostles now. Why? Because we have the scriptures. We are a people of the Word of God, and we have the scriptures. In this passage, he presents two negative possibilities for Christians. Did you catch them? In verse number 8, he talks about, first of all, those who are barren or unfruitful. He says, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, remember, just a few weeks ago, or I think it was right before vacation Bible school, I preached out of John chapter number 15. I remember that. I don't expect you to remember that. You've heard a lot of messages since then. But I almost went back there even today thinking about it. And here it was right in the middle of the passage that it's God's will that believers bear fruit. It's God's will that everybody in here, if you're a believer, if you're a child of God, it's God's will that you bear fruit. He talks about He's the vine. We are the branches. And the branch doesn't bear fruit of itself, but as long as we abide in Him, we bear His fruit. He lays out a plan that God is the husbandman. He's in charge of the field, and He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, came to this earth and was planted in the field, and that which he produces are the branches, and we are then to bear fruit. And if we're not bearing fruit, he says it's like a branch that's broken off, and men take it and cast it into the fire. Peter here talks about one that's barren or unfruitful. He then describes, he goes on in verse number 9, he talks about those that are blind. Now, friend, remember here, he's talking not about and not to lost people in this passage. He's talking to saved people. He says, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see them afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. He's talking to people that are purged. Now, that word blind is kind of a sad word to use to describe saved people. Why? Because blind is how lost people are described in the Scriptures. Friend, if you're here this morning and your sins have never been forgiven, you have never been what the Bible calls saved, the Bible says that you're blind. But those of us who are saved, and if you are in that category, you can receive sight today. You can be saved this very day. But to those of us who are saved, it is apparently possible for us to walk in such a way where he here in the Scriptures describes us as being blind. In other words, for a saved person to walk just like a lost person walks. Now, that's a tragedy. That's a scary thought. So he encourages us. Of course, Peter, he's about to depart. He knew that the hope of Christianity is founded in the Lord and is founded in Him working through fruit-bearing Christians. Christianity doesn't thrive and work without fruit-bearing Christians. You know, Central Baptist Church doesn't work without fruit-bearing Christians. And with that thought in mind and putting all these things together, he said, my job at this point and my goal is to provoke you to remember so that you don't become fruitless and you don't act like a blind person. My job is for you to remember. I think about this time of year. It's a neat time of year. You know, schools are out. We've got this calendar that kind of harkens back to our agricultural days in our country where, you know, schools would be out for that period of time where people could work in fields and young people could help in harvest and things like that. And that's carried over, and it's kind of a neat time of year. And a lot of times when the kids get out of school and it's easy to travel, and we just took a trip, and I mean, we had a great time, and I'm for it, and I'm for all of that. But if we are not careful, those things can become things that are good things, but they can become good things that cause us to forget the best things. There's a lot of people that get distracted by the things of this world, and they go down a path that produces a barrenness and even a blindness where they once produced fruit, but now they don't. And a lot of it is because they have forgotten. You remember, I pointed out, and I'll highlight them again for emphasis here. What he says in verse number 9, he talks about the one that is blind. He says they've forgotten. In other words, they don't remember. He goes down in verse number 12. He says, I will not be negligent to put you in remembrance. In verse number 13, he says to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. In verse number 15, he says, may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. We could go to chapter 3 in verse number 1 of this same epistle. He says, I now write to you in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. It's critical as believers that we remember the right things. I want to draw a few things out of this passage this morning that hopefully will be a help to us and a reminder to us. I want you to notice from this, first of all, this very obvious statement, but it is necessary for us to remember the same things. You know what we're always pulled by? We're always pulled by new things, aren't we? But you know when we remember what we're remembering the same things. In Philippians chapter number 3, verse number 1, the Apostle Paul wrote to a group of believers there at Philippi, and he says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord." To write the same things, note the word as I read it to you, he says, "To write the same things to you, to me, and indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe." The things that Peter wanted to remind them of were things that they obviously already knew. But he knew that even as he wrote this book, there was a movement taking place. A thing called Gnosticism was starting to creep in. That's something that promotes always the discovery of something new. The revelation of something new. Oh, hey, you know what? Maybe as it started to creep in, you see it indicated here and history tells about us. There would have been people going around going, oh yeah, that was what they wrote, 15, 20 years ago. But have you read the new writings by the new philosopher? Have you considered this other writing that was put out here? And a lot of people would be pulled by that. A lot of churches would be drawn off the path by that because of some potentially new revelation and new thing that would be given to them by God. But Peter said at the end of his life, as he had lots of age on him and he had lots of experience on him and he had firmly entrenched himself in the service of the Lord, he said, "I want you to remember," and Paul wrote in Philippians chapter number 3, he said, "It's not grievous for me to write the same things." And why is that? Because what we need to remember are the same things that we used to remember and we used to know in the past. Just like Peter, what he was dealing with would have been people trying to introduce something new that had transpired and maybe made what had happened 20 years earlier seem outdated. Now we are 2,000 years departed from this era. And you know what? We need to make sure we remember the same things that Peter wrote about and that Paul wrote about. We have not just Gnosticism, but there are a million different things. The internet provides us with an abundance of things that people are presenting ideas about and saying, "Hey, you know what? That's old. That's not relevant anymore. That's old fashioned." But yet I stand here today with Peter and with Paul and with others and remind us that, listen, the truth has not changed. God's word is not irrelevant, and it is not necessary that we find out the newest thing and learn the newest thing. And we have to be careful that we not be drawn away just because something is new and shiny. Why? Because we are founded on something that has proven the test of time, and it has shown that it has a life and a vitality to it. It has shown that it can change lives. It has shown that it can transform families. And friend, we need to determine that we are going to be rooted upon and remember the same things that the apostles wrote. Friend, it was good enough for my great-grandparents, at least back to there. It was good enough for my grandparents. It was good enough for my parents. It's good enough for me. It will be good enough for my kids. And if the Lord tarries, for my grandkids, and however long the Lord in His wisdom decides to tarry, the truths of this Word of God are what we should be anchored to. When we talk about remember, we're remembering the same things, not just always learning new things. Amen. Now, when I talk about new things, it's interesting. Think about the Bible. How many of you ever studied the Bible before? It's an obvious question. You ever studied the Bible before and you're studying it and you're reading it and go, "Wow, I never realized that was there before." You ever been like that? Or, "I never knew that before." Yeah, but what's new to us, it's the same things that have been true for the ages. And that the Holy Spirit will turn the light bulb on for us and illuminate things to us. But friend, we can rest assured in that hey, what I'm learning might be new to me, but it is not new to the Lord. And it's not new. You ever take something like that and go, "Wow, this is great, fantastic. I never saw this before." You go show it to somebody, maybe an older Christian or somebody who studied the Bible as well. You show it to them and they just look and go, "Yeah, You go, wait a second. You mean I just missed it? Yeah, we miss things. But if it's true and it's new to you, remember, it's not new in the sense of it was just invented. If it's true, it's always been true. We need to remember the same things. In verse number 9, he references one that had forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Boy, what a... The song this morning talking about that, the cleansing and the lamb and all that. Do you listen to that? Can you listen to songs like that and be taken back afresh and anew, just like it was yesterday that it happened? He said they had forgotten, these people that he was referencing, that he was warning them about, had forgotten even that they had been purged from their old sins. We have, let's prepare this. I was thinking a little bit, in a month or so, we'll have a revival meeting. Brother Rick Flanders will be here, and I, as I get older, the more and more I realize the need and necessity for periods of revival and refreshing. Why is it? Because we forget what we should remember. A number of years ago, I just meditating on the scripture, I was thinking through some things and about revival. And you know, there's a series of things that I think if every Christian will remember, I mean genuinely remember, they'll live in a state of revival. Now you might could add to it, let me just give you a few things real quick, I'll just read them all. If every Christian will remember the ugliness of sin, remember the ugliness of sin, remember what they were saved out of, remember what sin does to lives and to families, remember what God thinks about sin. You know, that'll go a long way to helping us have revival if we remember the ugliness of sin. If we remember the reality of hell. You know, hell's a real place. And you know, when we remember it, I mean, we just read the... Nothing new. We just read the same things that God has said about it for the ages. And we remember it. You know what? That starts to affect how we live in the world around us. It provides a little bit more urgency to reaching that lost loved one or even reaching our children or reaching our neighbor or whatever when we remember the reality of hell. But oh, we've got to remember the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We need to remember the fact that that intervened in our life and that changed our life forever. When was the last time that we remembered our own salvation? Brother Kevin Young, I'll quote the great scholar, Brother Kevin Young, teaching in Sunday school this morning. He says, of course, if I'd have written this down in a way I could read it, it would have been better. But he says, Jesus forgives the worst of the worst. If we'll remember that, friend, I mean remember it, not just, oh yeah, that happened, I mean remember it. When the song is sung about the forgiveness that He offers, I mean we go back there in our mind, our personal testimony, and remember, hey, that moment Jesus saved me from that very real sin that was in my life, and He delivered me from hell. If we'll remember that, that'll go a long way to keep us from going cold on the Lord. It'll go a long way to helping us to continue to produce fruit, to keeping us on the right track. Every Christian needs to regularly remember the reality of heaven and our eternal abode with the Lord. Just these basic things, you think about it. If we remember what God thinks about sin, remember what He says about hell, remember our own salvation and what the cross and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus did for us, and remember the reality of heaven, you know what? We're well down the path individually of having personal revival. But so often we forget. You know, though, people get saved. Again, I'll make the plea that if you're here today and you're not saved, you know, today the Lord Jesus Christ would save you and forgive your sins and will give you a home in heaven. He can do that this very day. So often we'll get saved, been saved for a while, and then somebody else will get saved, and it can almost get a little bit cold to us. Oh, that's nice. You know, heard about, you know, kids in vacation Bible school got saved. Well, you know, that's nice. Or you hear about a neighbor, you know, somebody's neighbor got saved. Well, okay, that's neat. But friend, when we really remember what happened there, it should take us back to what happened to us when we got saved. It should take us back there. Why? Because we don't want to be like that one that forgot that he was purged from his old sin. We need to remember the same thing. Secondly, I want you to notice we need to remember because our tendency is to forget. We need to remember because our tendency is to forget. Think about this. We have to work to remember, but we forget in leisure. Remembering's hard. Anybody in here a super person when it comes to remembering names? If you are, I'd like to talk to you. You know, I do my best, and I do eventually get them. 3-4 years, I mean, I've got it. I got it. But I'm bad. Somebody will introduce themselves first time you ever meet them, and I'll stand there and have the conversation and go, I'm going to remember this. 30 seconds later, I'm going, what was their name? You know, somebody else comes and talks to me, and I forgot that I was supposed to remember that, you know. We have to work to remember. So I've learned what I have to do is when I get that name, if I can scurry off quickly in a corner somewhere and write it down and then attach what I wrote down to that face, you know, I've got a much better chance of doing it. But just that within itself is work to do. You have to effort to remember, but boy, I can forget all day long, easy. My great aunt is still alive, and she's in a nursing home there near where my mom is. We go to see her, and we went and visit her, and she had this really cool, this book that one of her nieces, I think, had put together, extended family, of just relatives from the way back. And I saw this picture that was in there. This guy was awesome. I've got a picture of it on my phone. Some of you show a picture of grandkids. Come to me, I'll show you a picture of my grandparents. But this guy was, he had a white beard down to here, and he looked like the things that would haunt you in your dreams from the 1800s. I mean, it was an amazing. I sent the picture to my uncle, and who keeps up on. And I said, my life is a little more full knowing that I'm related to this guy. But you know, the funny thing was, my aunt didn't remember how we were related. She barely remembered his name. Now, just as a side note, my uncle didn't remember it either. He did a little research, though, by the way, found out he is my 4 times great-grandfather. He's my grandfather's grandfather, great-grandfather, way back. That's neat. Nobody remembered the guy. Why? Because you got to work to remember those things. Now, I have a memory of him now. I have some remembrance of who he was now because somebody went through the effort of, you know, they took the picture way back when. They preserved the picture. They kept it in a drawer somewhere, probably somewhere along the way. There were no doubt moves from houses and things that took place. And somebody said, no, don't throw that box out. Keep it around. And then somebody just recently went through and pulled them together and digitally scanned things and put it in a photo album. And now there is some remembrance of it. And I'm telling you that just to see, you know how it goes. It's necessary to remember on purpose and work at it. Why? Because our tendency is always to forget. God, of course, knows what our tendency is. So He left, as we've already talked about, an unchangeable record of what He wants us to remember. Say, well, what do I need to know about God? It's here. He left it for us. Say, well, all the way, you think about it, all the way, that was, that gentleman I described died in like 1897 or something like that. And here, we have a record of how this world was created. Why? God left it for us so we would remember. And here we have a an unchangeable record of the redemption of mankind, and God left it for us. Why? Because He knew that we needed to remember and that the human tendency is always to forget. Peter recounts from them in this passage a memory that he had of the transfiguration. In verse number 16, he talked about how they followed not cunningly defined fables, but in the last part of the verse he says, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. He talks about the transfiguration that him and just a select few others saw. But he let them know, he said, but we also have a more sure, verse 19, a more sure word of prophecy, wherein ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This is why we preach the Bible and why we defend the Bible and why we stand on the Bible. Why? Because we forget, but God gave us what we need to remember. We have to, because we have a tendency to remember. And then I'm going to go ahead and introduce our third point because it bleeds into this one. Because it's our tendency to forget, it is necessary, verse number 15, it is necessary that we endeavor to remember. He says, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my departure to have these things always in remembrance. We have to endeavor. A few weeks ago, we preached out of Ephesians where it said, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And we talked about how that endeavoring means there's effort that has to be placed and there's work that has to be done in order, in this case, to remember. Why? Because our tendency is to forget. If we don't endeavor, we will be swallowed up by the cares of this world and become cold and become fruitless and become as those that are blind. But if we endeavor to remember, do you notice what verse number 11 says? He says, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We looked at the negative part, the unfruitful, the blind. There's also a positive there. It talks about one that enters abundantly into that kingdom. And that only will happen if we remember the things He wants us to remember. And I preach in this because I know in the summertime, I know it's easy to forget. I know there's people here, pray, just as a side note, it's on my mind that tonight we'll start a series in the book of Ruth over some evening services. We'll kind of take it one chapter at a time. And tonight we talk about that first, be preaching about that first chapter in the book of Ruth. And you know the bind that they ended up in that first chapter in the book of Ruth is because Elimelech, Naomi's husband, forgot some things. But then there's Boaz who remembered some things. He stayed even through the famine, and God blessed him abundantly. And it's easy as life comes, trouble and turmoil comes our way. Maybe good times, maybe prosperity. It's probably even more difficult during those times of prosperity. They come our way, and where we once used to be fruit producers, where we once used to fully walk in the light, we live by the light that saved us, we become unfruitful. Why? Because we forget the things that we should have remembered. There's a phrasing that we use in our churches many times. We talk about someone growing cold on the Lord. Maybe there's somebody here this morning, and you have, even through this summer, you've grown a little bit cold on the Lord. Your routine's out of place. You're not reading your Bible like you do when the schedule is normal. You've been on vacation, and that's a great thing, but in doing so, you've kind of forgotten some things that are normally there, and they're normally present with you. And if you were to do an inventory of your life right now, you realize, you know what, I've got a little cold. Maybe it's time to remember. Maybe it's time to remember what He's done for you. Maybe it's time to remember His Word. Maybe it's time to remember from whence thou was in Revelation chapter number 2, and repent and do the first works, as he told the church there at Ephesus. They were in trouble there, and they weren't doing the right things. And the first thing he told them to do was remember from whence thou art fallen. It doesn't have to be any major sin. As a matter of fact, our Christian life is a lot easier, and I put it that way, and it's a lot easier to maintain if we take care of things when they're small. When we say, well, I'm not backslidden necessarily, I'm not all the way up, but I'm just a little cold. Today's the day to remember. I'll just remind you of this story, and we'll finish up in the book of Joshua, chapter number 4. All the way back to the Old Testament there, the children of Israel were facing crossing the Jordan River, and as they went to cross, one of the commands that they were given was to take 12 stones out of the middle of the Jordan River and to set those things up on the side of the river. And why were they to do that? But so that future generations would remember what God had done on that spot. And there was no doubt, over the years, Israelites that got cold, because that's the tendency to forget, right? And they would be walking by that riverbank and see those stones and maybe a child with them and ask, what mean ye by these stones? And there's no doubt that there were many times that there was a true believer that walked by and maybe a tear filled their eye and go, you know what? I'd forgotten exactly what God had done for us. Maybe there's somebody here this morning and you've forgotten a little bit. Got a little bit cold. It's become routine. It's become habit. It's become autopilot. It's become it's something I do. You know what? If you'll remember, the Lord might reignite that fire in your soul. He might take you back to where you're producing that fruit, where it's not blind. He'll open those eyes a little bit, and he'll get us back on the path that we're supposed to be on. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day.